you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're brought to you weekly by Morning and Night Multivitamins and UBeauty.com. UDocs@gmail.com is the email address, YOUDOCS@gmail.com. It's What's Toxic and What's Not every week at this time with toxicologist Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What'stoxic.com, his website is terrific. Dr. Mike, topic number one, please. What would you like to discuss first?
Algal blooms and Toledo water supply and what it means for the rest of us and algal blooms.
Yeah, hi, guys. Well, we talked about Holy Toledo's story last week and how they couldn't drink the water for several days. For 400,000 to 500,000 people in your neck of the woods out in western Ohio, from the Western Lake Erie algal bloom. So that really puts blue-green algae, which is actually a cyanobacterium, not an algae at all, but it really puts them on top of the unregulated hit list. The problem is that there is no standard. There is no federal standard on how much is too much of the microtoxin from the algae that could be in your drinking water. So what that doesn't mean we don't know how toxic it is, doesn't mean we don't know how to set a standard for it. What it means, though, is that since the federal government has gotten around to setting a standard for this microcystin toxin, that nobody's testing for it. Nobody has to test for it. So they were testing in Toledo because they knew they had a lot of algae in Lake Erie near where they took the water from for the public drinking water. But you know, across the rest of the country, I would think, there's three things I want to leave people with regarding the blue-green algae story. Number one, it could be happening during summer months in surface water supplies around the country. And so you might want to check with the water supply wherever your public water comes from, if it's an above-ground source, and ask them, are they testing for the toxins that could come from the algae? How do they know that there isn't this toxin in the drinking water? Because they're not required to test from the federal government, but now we know that it is possible for there to be blooms and these toxins in the water. So that's number one, is your local water company testing? Number two is, what if you're not drinking the water, but you're swimming in the water? Now, I hope nobody's swimming in their reservoir, but you might be swimming at a local water body. Probably not so much a problem in rivers, but lakes and ponds could get algae blooms this time of the year. And if the water looks at all scummy, blue, or green sheen to the water, even if it's not right where you're swimming, even if it's off on a different part of the pond, then you might want to think twice and ask the local health authorities if they have tested the water, either for blue-green algae or for microcystin or any of the other algae toxins, to know whether you might be exposed. Because if it's on your skin, you could get a skin reaction to it. If you accidentally ingest some of the water, that could lead to exposure to this liver toxin. So number two is keep your eyes out for where you and your family are swimming this summer. Make sure it doesn't have any of that blue-green sheen to it. And number three is fish. If you are catching fish from a water body that the fish don't look so healthy, maybe the fish may have some sores or not look great, maybe not fully, and maybe is a little dopey. If there's any blue-green algae in the water, fish can accumulate the algae toxin, and it can be a risk to people eating it. We don't normally test. Most fish are not tested for this. So if you see any suspicious fish, you might want to report it to your local or state health authorities and ask them to look into the quality of that water. So those are the three take-home messages for all of us related to Toledo, Ohio.
Gary, how can you trust what comes out of a kitchen restaurant? Restaurant kitchen when it comes to fish?
When it comes to fish?
Well, you're saying don't eat fish that don't look good, that kind of thing. How do you know that the restaurant's doing due diligence to make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, they're going to the market, and the market is coming from either fish farms or from boats where they're usually out in more marine environments. So the blue-green algae problem is more of a local water body, in terms of fish consumption, more of a local water body than, say, the ocean, where a lot of our fish come from in supermarkets or in restaurants.
All right, topic number two, why are pot growers suspected of poisoning a researcher's dog? What can you tell us?
Yeah, this is one of those criminal stories. Poisoning a dog, in my mind, purposely killing a dog, somebody's dog, is criminal. And, the Attorney General of California is being pressured to investigate this. What's going on is that there's a researcher, last name is Gabriel, and he is a well-known published researcher in the field of wildlife and some of the toxic chemicals, some of the risks, habitat loss to wildlife. And he has found that some of the wildlife that's actually fairly threatened, these little cat-sized critters that live out in the woods of California called fishers, that these fishers have, their populations have radically dwindled in the last 15 or so years in certain wooded areas of California, and that seems to be where the pot's growing. So he has gone out in the fields and published some studies to show that the residue levels of the fishers that he's finding that are dead are high in rat poison. So he's published this, and he's been putting pressure on the growers of marijuana. It's apparently, these critters, rats and mice that are out in the pot fields, and this is usually illegally grown on public lands, and these marijuana fields are endangered by rats and mice, so they give them rat poison. This is wildlife that's being poisoned to grow pot, and the residue. And what happens is when the rats and the mice die, they get eaten by these weasley-like critters, the fishers, and their populations have dwindled. So this guy's been publishing this and trying to put pressure on the use or trying to ban the use of these kinds of poisons that affects wildlife, and so his own dog was found dead with high levels of rat poison. Apparently somebody fed his dog meat that was contaminated with the rat poison.
All right, we have got about 90 seconds here to talk about a common cosmetic preservative is confirmed as a human carcinogen. What is it?
It's formaldehyde. And people who were in high school and took, those kinds of labs, you might have had your nose smarted by breathing in some of this preservative. But it is a relatively common preservative in cosmetics. It may not say formaldehyde on the label. It may be a formaldehyde-releasing ingredient that slowly releases formaldehyde over time to keep the cosmetic from growing mold and bacteria. And so, hey, preservatives in cosmetics are probably a good thing. You don't want to be putting mold on your face. But formaldehyde is probably way more toxic than is needed. And what just happened was that the National Academy of Sciences reviewed government opinions about how toxic formaldehyde is, and they agreed with EPA and the National Tox Program, saying formaldehyde is a class one human carcinogen, should be avoided. It didn't come out and make a statement about cosmetics, but there's a good website. The Environmental Working Group has a safe cosmetics website, which will tell you whether the cosmetic that you like, whether or not it has any formaldehyde releasing ingredients in it. Formaldehyde should be stayed away from.
That is Dr. Gary Ginsberg, a fantastic part of the show weekly. It's called What's Toxic and What's Not. You want more of Dr. G, you check his website out at whatstoxic.com.
Udocs@gmail.com.
UDOCS@gmail.com. 5 minutes from now, rather, is a quick Q&A with Dr. Mike, some listeners' questions, and Dr. Mike's answers. If you have a question for Dr. Mike, pass it along, and we'll get it to get you the answer as soon as we can. Anyway, and then we'll wrap the week's show up with the Real Edge Tip of the Week for the hour. udocs@gmail.com, UDOCS@gmail.com. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royson on Radio MD. Stay well.